Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome back, rescuers, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Balance pulls a plan out of midair, Raoul gets dumped into the river, and Zoltana spots a fraud. With Benno and Elise safe, the trio teleport themselves into a nearby river, where Raoul feels the presence of the Spectre and Aimer guiding him to safety. They then head off to hopefully meet their cart and potential safety. Does either Homer or Jens have the ability to fix the damage from the fight with the hags? How will they resupply an instrumentless bard and a bowless archer? And how much further into the stalking is Raoul being drawn? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
Hi everyone, it's Philander here. We thought we'd give you a heads up on a potential trigger warning on this episode. At 34 minutes 25 seconds, you'll hear me say something along the lines of, "It's your dream, girl," and you're going to want to skip forward to minute 36 at that point. We just do some gory setup for the scene, so it's not necessary to listen to, but there is gore to a child, so we thought we'd give you the trigger warning and a heads up on that. So if you want to bypass that for whatever reason, 34 minutes, 25 seconds, it's your dream, girl. Just roll forward to minute 36, and we'll see you guys in the episode. Bye. Okay, you guys are hitting the end of day four, and you guys are making your way along this pathway towards where the caravan is. A few hours later, you guys are moving at speed, not very, very fast, but fast enough. Elise is no longer needing to lean on balance to basically sort herself out. Benno is again walking with his own under his own steam without having to lean too heavily on Zoltana. And up ahead in the distance, you can hear the sound of horses and a laden cart, which you know to be your RC, coming your way.
Balance is just, as we were traveling, Balance would give both of his short swords, one to Benno and one to Elise.
Okay, they accept that gratefully.
Just so that they have something to defend themselves?
Of course, yeah.
Because I don't need them?
That's fair. Okay, yeah, you guys make your way. Up ahead, you see the caravan and it comes to a quick stop. The sun is basically mostly down at this point. It's not exactly nighttime, but it's that like twilighty, dusky feel that's going on right now. Confounded by the fog and the mist that you see that's around you, but you know, you can see it.
We all come limping up.
Yeah. As you come limping up, you see Jens basically stand up on the front of the cart or the bench, and she holds her hand up, and you see a small light appear on it. She casts light on her hand, and she says, "Now, who's who?"
"What?
We are us. These are some friends that we were searching for."
"How do I know you're you?"
"You tried to flirt with me back at the bar. You were super wasted, though, and probably forgot half of it."
"I've forgotten that, so I don't know if it's true."
"We had you read a book that had many languages."
My book.
Yes. But you could be anyone. Anyone could know that information. The people who left could know that information. They would know that information. And there's you guys. All many of you.
If you're going to disguise yourself as something, why would you disguise yourself as me? Look at me.
Well, to be fair, Raul, you saw what just happened with Benno.
Raul, I want a persuasion check. What the fuck, man?
Seven.
I don't know what else you're expecting.
You'd be the greatest person to disguise. No one would know what kind of a thing you are. They wouldn't know. They'd be too rude to ask questions. I feel like as she climbs down from the cart and you see Homer just like cross his hands on his lap, just like waiting, like he's clearly had this all day. She kind of like wanders over to you a bit, like staggering to and fro. And she says, "You," and she points at Zoltana.
"Yeah, what's up?
How do I know you're really you? Tell me something about yourself that only I might know." And she gets down on one knee, so she's looking up and directly into your eyes. Like, she holds the light on her hand up so she can see your face very, very clearly.
I mean, I don't know what you know about me. We drank together. I put my hand on your head. I told you about Balance being psychic and shit. I told you that I'd introduce you to my brother-in-law.
Right, yeah.
That's him, by the way. She points at Benno.
She looks at you. You see that, like, something clears in her eyes, and she believes you. She believes that what you're saying is true. She comes to trust you. She looks up at Benno, and you see she doesn't really react. She just holds her face impassively, like, without movement, as she just looks at him and says, "Your face. Something missing.
All of it."
Well, I wasn't going to say, but your brother-in-law's missing his face.
Yeah.
She gets up. She walks over to Benno and puts her hand. I was like, "I'm Jens. You are..." And he says, "Benno." And he puts her hand out and shakes it. And she says, "Sorry about your face. I know people who can maybe fix your face. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Not, I mean..."
On the subject, Homer, do you by any chance have any restorative capabilities that you can help us out?
Oh, I am pretty sure I do. Let me go and walk down and have a look at you.
I know some druids have...
Can you please fix my brother-in-law's face? I think that if my wife sees him like this, it's going to be very traumatic.
I agree. Not that having no face is a problem, that your face is terrible. I don't want to put my foot in it and say that you really don't look good right now, but you're missing a face.
Jens, and she puts her hand on like Jens's, like, I guess, wrist.
Yeah.
She's short, so she's just like, "Yeah. Like, all right, so we're gonna put a cork in it just for the moment."
Yeah. Okay. You see him walk over to Benno and, like, basically gesture him to come down and to his level, because, you know, White Needle Homer is really short. He's a Snub Bevelin. You see Benno like sit down on his knees and sit back on his haunches, and you see the druid reach into his pouch and he pulls out some things and begins to rub them over his face. And over the course of a few moments, you see a dark green glow emanate from Homer's hands. And as he pulls his hands away, you see him reach for his staff and just bap him very gently on the top of the head. And you see a bright flash of bright green light, and Benno's face has been restored.
Hooray!
Hoorah!
Homer, do you have another one of those?
We probably do. Let me have a look.
I kind of got...
Let me see if I've got enough energy. Oh, I do, because I've got loads of spell slots above that one.
Oh, thank God. I kind of got, like, cursed or something. By the way, so...
Makeover.
Heads
makeover.
Up for the two of you. We're going to need to be very careful because we were attacked by two hags. A mirror hag and a blood hag?
Ooh, those don't sound very good.
No. however, I figure with more of us and with us being recuperated somewhat, we'll stand a better chance than we did when we were in a hostage situation.
Yeah, now we know what we're looking out for. We should be better prepared. Now get down to my level and I can see what... So what's ailing? He, like, stops mid-sentence, looks at Benno, who had his entire face ripped off, and looks at, like, the few wars of droopy eye that you have. Now, I'm not saying that nobody's pain is worse than anyone else's, but you just seem to be a little bit... I mean, you could probably function, right?
Balance Pete reaches into his coin purse and pulls out 5 gold and is just like, could you just please...
he puts his very small hands around yours and like folds the gold piece back into your hands. Like, I'm only messing with you, but maybe you should have come with me first and then I wouldn't be so judgy. And he puts his hand up to your face and he begins to like rub these kind of like oils and leaves and stuff into your face. And, you know, again, he just gives you a gentle whack on the top of your head, on the top of your head. And yes, you have your charisma damage restored.
Oh, thank God. I'm beautiful again.
Well, Jesus, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, not that you're my type. I don't really know what's beautiful in your culture, but...
Did I get ugly too?
You're not ugly. You're you and you're doing a very good job at it. No, uh-huh. We should probably make move.
That's so and, sweet.
And he waddles his way back up to the horses and climbs up onto the bench. And Jen shows the other guys into the back of the cart and makes like a big fuss of like, here's the sleeping part and like, here's the bit where you cook your food and here's the bit where like the roof leaks, you know, this is the lush inverted commas carpet, like that sort
this
of thing.
This
like
Jeremy, our butler. He washes your hands after you use the, he dries your hands after you use the bathroom.
Oh my God.
You tip him. He takes tips.
Now, Homer, do you think you'd be able to guide the horses in the dark for a little bit?
Oh, I think they'd be fine. I mean, we gave them a little rest a bit far up and you come up to meet her still. I think we'd probably travel a little bit in the dark. Not too far, though. I don't want to overexert them and we won't be too far enough away tomorrow.
Well, if we can get over the bridge within the span of the next hour or two, I would like to put as much distance between us and the hags as possible.
Yeah. I take them as far as I can and I give them a bit of a rest and see if they'll take going a bit further. I try and keep them going best I can.
Fair. I'm going to take a bit of a rest in the cart. Keep an eye out.
That I will. You'll be sleeping well, young masters and ladies. And he goes back up and he starts the carriage forward. Is anyone sitting up with him? Do you know what? Jens is going to sit up with him because you've just rescued a bunch of people who look terrible and she thinks they're your friends, hence why. So she'll give you guys some time. It's a bit cramped in here now that there are three tall beings, one with a tail and three shorter, well-stocky ones and a wolf.
I would hope Karuna does not come in the cart.
She could like lay on the floor, put your feet on her and she'd be like warm and snuggly. Whatever.
We'll cuddle. It's fine.
He'll cuddle someone. It's good. Okay, yeah, so the five of you here, if you guys just want to rest the night out, that's a doable thing. If you guys want to chat and catch up with them or anything, Benno and Elise look absolutely wiped. They look absolutely tired. Elise is clearly lamenting the loss of her magic. She has no access to them right now. Other than that, there's nothing really much to it.
Elise, would this be of use to you in the meantime? And Balance will pull out the Rowena's book.
She takes it from me and she flicks it through and it's like, I think I can, this will work for now. Where did you get this?
It's a long story.
I mean, I can read everything in here that's music, but the words, no clue.
Consider it on loan then, should we get jumped. I will need that back though.
Of course. I have my own music. This is a different style for sure. I like things you can dance to. This is pretty miserable actually.
if only you knew the half of it.
Thank you. She takes the book from you and begins to study it, read it, / attune to it. Okay. Is there anything anyone wants to say or do before we roll forward into the morning?
Is there armor all good? Like, do they?
It will serve the function of armor. It's just like torn and scratched and like slightly falling apart, but it serves. It does the job.
Okay.
They'll definitely want to replace it when they go home, but it will serve it well enough.
That is fine then. So I gave up the bard book. I'm sorry. I do not have any other armaments with which to supply to our NPC friends.
I know. You also handed over your bow and your arrows.
My bow and my arrows are gone.
Does Zoltana have any crossbow or a bolts or anything?
Hand axes.
Okay. That's not good for Bilbo. That's not his thing.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
They both have a short sword.
They're both a short swords. That's okay. That's doable.
Can I make a flute out of acid and take one smaller stick and like put acid on it and then kind of like twist it into it to make like a hollowed out stick and then just with my claw dip acid to make little holes and make a flute?
It
sounds like you're making a recorder.
Than an actual flute, and it won't sound good.
Well, it's a makeshift thing. Come on. It's just until she gets her good one back. It's a stick that I've made with some spit.
I'll tell you what, make a... Jesus Christ, dude. I'm going to say that you have the materials around on you. You picked up a bunch of wood when you were at...
We're in a bunch of wood, right?
Yeah, you can find wood easy. You can, it's not exactly a straight stick. You find a stick. hang on, I just need to open a character sheet. One second. I'm trying to figure out what to make you roll here, dude. Like, a part of me needs you to roll some sort of intelligence check.
To put a hole in sticks?
Yeah, because it's a very finicky thing. It could also be like dexterity, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna go with dexterity actually, because it's a very finicky process you're trying to do. You're trying to hollow out a stick and then put up like the other holes. They're super easy, but you're trying to hollow out a stick without like disintegrating it. Lucky for you, one of Elise's weapons is a flute. One of her things, her proficiencies, is flute.
Oh, I know.
So that plays really well.
Her flute plays. Raul complimented her on her flute playing once in the past.
I believe so.
Because he saw it throwback. In memory.
Okay, I will say that you can make basically a recorder, but she could use it as a flute, and it would be very, very, very temporary.
Yeah. That's what he's doing.
Like, it probably won't withstand a lot of magic use.
It's a nice gesture that is supposed to hold her over. He's by no means making, like, a very classy thing.
Yeah. Okay, in that case, yeah, I'm gonna call for a sleight of hand check. Because it's a very finicky process that you're trying to do, and you are using your claws to make like the other holes and guide things, and it's a very finicky process. I'm going to ask a sleight of hand on there.
18.
You make the world like my first flute. It's real bad, but with some minor adjustments, she can make a real bad tune out of it, exactly like a recorder.
Yes.
It's not good by any stretch of the imagination. It takes you all night to do this, like bar like the bare minimum amount of sleep. If you go for another bare minimum amount of sleep again, I'll give you exhaustion, but I will let it slide for this one. You make a really crappy recorder. So when she wakes up in the morning, she sees like this flute thing next to her. It's almost like she doesn't have the heart to tell you how bad it is, but she makes a good job of it and it sounds... vaguely passable if you like recorders. Good job, Raul. Raul, you can have some inspiration, my dude, because that's cute and adorable.
Raul's sitting there trying to play Crossbones.
Boop, boop, boop. All right, so you spend the night making a recorder and get the bare minimum amount of sleep needed for tonight. You do this again tomorrow, you're exhaustion. Okay.
We did get a long rest, though.
You get a long rest, so.
Oh, thank God.
You guys get long rest, but there is the but. If Raoul does this, something like this again, he will take exhaustion. Sultana, is there something you wish to do overnight?
Just sleep. I ain't got nothing else.
All right. Again, no visitations tonight, unfortunately.
Is there a way I can actively, and I know this is stupid, but I don't care, actively attempt to seek out the Sandman while I'm asleep?
You have to look in a mirror and say his name 3 times.
I thought Mr. Sandman.
I would suggest that you would need more information about the Sandman. And you do have a bard who knows a shit ton of stuff about a shit ton of random crap.
Then I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to go talk to Elise.
Yeah, it's doable. Yeah, you could use her ability of like recalling shit. It's not going to be as much as if you'd known it, but I'm going to give it a shot. Okay, all right.
So she, Zoltana walks over to Elise and sits down and is like, hey.
Hi. Thank you for coming to get us.
Always.
Did you find Honorino?
I did.
Benna wouldn't tell me much of what happened other than...
I didn't kill him.
She nods as if, like, she understands and she knows that that's what happened. Did you want to, though? What stopped you?
I'm trying to be better. I made a new pact with Tyr.
Looks like we're both changing.
What happened?
She tips her head and she looks over at where Jens's stash of alcohol is. And she looks back at you and she says, it's been hard. And it's been hard, but I've managed to not for nearly 30 days now, and it's really hard.
She tentatively reaches out to hug Elise.
She takes a hug. Like, she knows that you know what she's talking about.
I'll tell Jens to keep hers away and out of sight.
She nods and smiles. She keeps looking over every now and then when you have a conversation, and you can just tell she's just itching to get up and get it, but she's trying to read this book and stay distracted. She says, so is everything okay?
Oh, fuck. I have to tell Benno too, because I told them, but it wasn't him. Shit.
Benno's like in the car. Like, he'd definitely be able to hear you. Like, he's doing that like half asleep, half not asleep thing.
Meditation.
Yeah, kind of meditating, yeah.
So, I don't know if Benno told you that Odette has been visiting me in my dreams.
She nods.
In the last dream, did he tell you about the Sandman?
She nods. She says.
Well, in the last dream, the Sandman grabbed her.
She looks at you with big eyes, as does Benno.
So she's doubly in danger.
What can I do?
Do you know anything about the Sandman?
She closes the book and just like puts her hands on top of it one blow, and she just closes her eyes for a minute, and you can see that she's concentrating, thinking. You can see her fingers just like moving through as if she's turning pages. I don't know a lot. I know there's celestials and there's more than one of them. It's a type of being. They don't like people taking control of their dream worlds. It's why sending isn't used as a sleep message anymore. Sometimes needs must. There are rumors that you can try and contact him in a dream. There are rumors that you can call him to you. But that's not an attention you want, and it's already on her. You may not call the right Sandman, but it's doable.
I mean,
here's the kicker. Can you cast sending?
No. No, I can't.
She shakes her head. I don't know. The stories are really scarce on the Sandman. I'm sorry. And she looks like sad and unhappy.
Did he tell you that Tuck's alive too?
She nodded. She nods and smiles. She tucks like her hair behind her ear.
I'm not going to lie to you. Odette's told me a lot of things since then, and it sounds like Tuck and Odette are being used for something and tortured.
She nods.
And especially Tuck.
Well, magic or no magic, I will rip him apart. It's not just you in this.
I.
It's me and Benno too.
I know. And I need you guys to understand. And she looks at both Benno and Elise. I am probably going to kill him.
Benno looks uncomfortable. Like he's not okay with that. Like killing in general is not okay with him. But Elise nods. And she has a very firm set in her jaw. A very hard look in her eyes.
If it disconnects me from Tyr, so be it. I don't want to be, but God, he killed my father. He turned my mother against me. He kidnapped my wife. He's been torturing her, torturing Tuck. God knows what else. And
Elise puts her hand out onto your, rests it on your shoulder. She says, we're going to end him one way or another. And by now I know that you don't like this, but fuck it. Fuck gods, fuck magic, fuck all this crap. We know he's laid hands on them and we are going to rip them apart.
I am going to destroy the double ones if it's the fucking last thing I do.
She puts her arms around you and just like rests her forehead on yours, and she just like nods and smiles at you and just holds you close.
Okay.
At some point, Elise will fall asleep, as will Benno.
Zoltana's gonna go over to Balance. I made myself cry.
Oh.
Sorry.
Balance is currently meditating.
And she's going to like tentatively tap you on the shoulder. Like, hey.
Yes.
Okay. You're smarter than me.
Thank you.
And you're more strategic. The Sandman, I told you, right? He grabbed Odette. I was talking to Elise. There's some rumors you can call the Sandman if you send sending in your sleep, and I can't do that. And I was wondering if you think it's worthwhile, or if you, I don't know. He grabbed her, Balance, and she's crying.
I'm not sure. The thing with that is, that's his natural habitat. That's his playing field. The times where I've tried to join you, as unsuccessful as that may have been, those were for me to be able to be there to try to protect you if needed. and also to try to gain information from Odette and potentially Sandman as well. Trying to draw him out and engage him in the dream could be difficult. I'm not opposed to trying. I don't have access to that kind of spell. The only thing I could do would be to try to join you in your dream and see if there's something that could be done.
According to Elise, we need to do sending or something. So it seems like.
I don't have that. I don't think any of us here do, except perhaps maybe Jens or Homer, but they don't know Odette to send the spell out to her.
Yeah. You're right.
The only thing I could think to do would be for me to try to bait him into coming to your dream. I imagine my presence in your dream itself would be a conundrum to him. You said that's what drew him to Odette the first time, right?
Yeah, but also the other thing is you'll be making yourself a target too.
Wouldn't be the first time. We just got out of the middle of hags that were trying to essentially slaughter all of us. I feel like at this point, I'm a little desensitized to some of the things we've been dealing with.
Yeah. All right.
I'm willing to try.
You would?
I'll give it a go. I can't make any promises. I haven't been able to get in the past few times we've tried.
Well, maybe that's because he's been lurking there every time. Maybe now that he's found Odette, it'll be easier. But he'll still be able to sense it.
It's worth a shot.
It's his realm. Okay. Thank you, Balance.
If I can't get in, I'm going to wake you up, though.
Okay. I don't think if you can't get in that he'll come, but sure.
I'd rather you not go in with the expectation, and if he does show up, then it becomes an issue.
That's fair.
All right, I'll give it a go.
Okay. Zoltana lays down at Balance's feet.
And Balance is just in his head going to say, Monarch, if you can lend me your aid in this. This time it's important.
Yes, I will help.
Does this mean that we're best friends?
Maybe.
Yay! Finally, right. It only took 60 some episodes.
We're like 64 now.
This is 64.
When I'm 64, they became best friends. Okay.
That should be the title. Balance and Zoltana become best friends.
BFFs. Well, I guess best friends until the end of the world, I guess. Okay, so you'll go to sleep. Balance, I will need you to make your check, please.
Yep.
I'm not looking.
Oh! Dang, that's
snap.
Good.
Oh, shit! Oh! 23!
You did it! Oh. It's because you became best friends.
That was the missing ingredient.
The power of friendship. That's the name of this episode, is the power of friendship.
That was the missing ingredient this entire time.
Oh.
Okay.
We just learned a valuable lesson about Roll 20. It respects friendship.
Friendship. Okay. And because like it gave Varala a natural 20 on his hugs. So it's all about friendship in this podcast. Friendship is magic.
The lucky die, friendship is magic.
That's what everyone didn't know about this podcast is we're actually the thing that's going to save the world from ending is we're all just going to have a giant bro hug.
I'm going to say that while you two are doing the dream thing, because you've had the conversation with Elise and with Thing and Rao was doing his thing, that when it comes to like the morning shift, inverted commas, it's going to be Rao that's out there. I just want to, you know, someone's got to cover it and it can't be the two people who are unconscious and you two who are going through this.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not going to be covered. And Jens has done more than enough today, I think. as our poor Homer. Okay, so we're going to do with you two first, and then we're going to go deal with Rao. Okay, Sultana, this is your dream, girl. Where are you?
I want to say Zoltana's not having a good dream.
Of course.
This time around, because she's very stressed out. So she's having a dream about seeing Benno with his face ripped off. But it's like freshly ripped off. He's just oozing blood out of every part of his face. And Elise too. They both have their faces ripped off.
Yeah, essentially on the ground, you just see, you know, the remains of people that you care about, you know, son's face. It's gross and uncomfortable. There are people that you love here, people that you remember from your childhood. There are like versions of Raoul and Balance here too, just spread out in a bloody mess in front of you, but you're unable to access your powers. You're unable to help them. Except...
Oh my God, is it Talus and Caden there with
no I can't do this to Talus. I do will it. Be murdered.
No, do it. Embrace
you didn't actually do anything. It's just Zoltana's dream.
Oh, you did it then. No, I can't put...
I did it.
I think there's a level... fine. Okay. And at your feet...
She's already traumatized. She's traumatized.
That's true.
I'm going to... As her player, I'm going to traumatize her more and say that Talus and Caden and Demi, like all of her new friends too.
Bogrim.
Okay.
Bogrim.
Oh, I'll rip Bogrim. Okay. So you see all of them... laying on the ground. Some of them are trying to call out for help. Some of them are unable to move, but you're unable to access your powers to help them. And then you feel a tap on your shoulder, and standing there before you is Balance with face.
I look down at the faceless Balance on the ground. I look up at Balance with the face standing next to me. Down.
It
up.
Disappears.
Is that really what you think of me?
And then I remember I'm dreaming.
Is that what you think my face bones look like?
Shit. I'm sorry, I was having a nightmare.
I can tell. This is a little...
This isn't usually what it's like when he shows up, by the way. Usually I'm having a really good dream. Like, about, you know, Tears of the Regulars, and I'm happy, and everything is good. But just happened to catch me on a bad night.
Apparently.
You can hear... Balance, this is new for you. Zoltana has been dealing with this for a few days. You can hear this crying, this wailing, this kind of high-pitched scream, which is just in the background.
You know she's here.
Balance looks around.
I've seen her in one of my dreams before. Did I tell you that?
Can she hear? Can I?
I don't know. We can go look for her while we're waiting.
As you guys begin to walk across this field of faceless creatures, you look around and look down, and the bodies are almost very, very quickly replaced with paving slabs and with cobblestones. It's a place neither of you have really seen that much before. You're aware of these things, but you know, you can't place this exactly. You walk across a few bridges, you work through a few empty buildings, and this all takes moments. Like, you are aware this takes moments. This is a dream way of moving. And just as you open a door into a dilapidated building on the side of a dock, as you push the door open, inside you find a very well lit, very well made room that's way bigger than should be appearing to the outside. And it's beautifully made out. It's very royal. It's something that Balance himself would be very used to having experienced. You can see some dogs and animals wandering around, but they're not really that much in focus. You can hear the sound of screaming much more prevalently now. And opposite you guys, there are some very posh-looking chairs, very like antique-looking chairs. And sitting, lying on one of these, like, kind of couches, chaise lounge type things, you can see Niverna curled up, legs up to her chest, just screaming and crying, her hands over her ears. Her face is still broken and fractured, and you can see light emanating from the cracks, but she's no longer a face full of mist. It's no longer blowing up every other second.
Keep an eye out, Zoltana. Give me a moment.
You got it. Zoltana posts herself at the door. Because I'm assuming it's like a room with one door, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a room with one door. It's like, it's just like, as you kind of like, you go to the door, like the inside of the door is really posh and ornate. It's not the door you came through because dream. Yeah, there's a single door. There's like those kind of like really like ceiling to floor windows are like, you know, twice the height of like what a normal room be. It's like a very high vaulted ceiling place.
Yeah. Zoltana's going to post herself by the door, but being aware this is a dream and anything can happen, she's going to be on high alert.
Yeah. As you
and
think
have
about...
A, oh, I'm also, she's going to have a ready to action just to punch if something appears right in front of her or appears to be ready to attack Balance.
Yeah. I'm going to say that as Balance is walking away, it looks like he should be like 20, 30 feet away. But as he sits, as he goes over to Nymverna, like the distance suddenly shrinks and he's only like 5 feet away, if that. Like it's the kind of weird, dreamy aspect to this. Mm-hmm. All right, Balance.
Balance is going to go in front of Nymverna and just get down on one knee in front of her.
Uh-huh.
And just gently reach a hand out and place it on hers.
Yep. It's cold, even in the dream.
He gives the hand a slight squeeze.
There is the barest hint of reaction, of a very, very gentle squeeze back. She opens her eyes and looks up at you. She can't make any other noise than screaming. It's so loud in here that it's beginning to affect you. It's beginning to like grind at your senses. She's screaming loud and clear, but she can't say anything. And she looks at you. Make an insight check, please. You don't have your advantage. You don't have your aura sight in here.
Got it.
This is not your world.
Woo! 22.
It's not exactly, woohoo, glad to see you. It's, she's glad for a friendly face. And she reaches out with her other hand just to touch the side of your face, but pulls it back because the pain in her head is just too much. And she curls back up into the fetal position, unresponsive.
I will fix this somehow. I promise.
The room begins to dim as you speak.
Balance immediately stands up and whips around.
And the room is getting darker and darker. In the corner, just next to Zoltana, the shadow is so dark there, it's like staring into a void. And you just hear a chuckle coming from the darkness.
Zoltana whips around to look at it. Fists at the ready. I punch the darkness.
Oh. Sandman takes half a step out, reveals his features in the dim lighting. You see his cloak made of darkness just wrapping around him, moving in a breeze that doesn't exist in this dream. And he looks at Zoltana, and he looks at Balance, and he looks at Nymverna, and he says,
more things to play with. Add another one to my collection.
Is it the same Sandman? Can I tell?
Take an insight check, but it's super freaking difficult.
That's 6, so not great.
You assume it to be. that's all I'm going to say. I neither confirm nor deny this.
He did say another one, so
yeah.
Zoltana's just going to rear back and fucking punch it.
As your fist goes to punch it, and the second that it feels like it would hit his chest, the both of you wake up. I need you both to make constitution saving throws.
Oh, shit. Okay. Nope, that's a 7.
That's a fail.
You get an advantage from me anyway, but...
Oh, no, I only get the +3.
Oh. Yeah.
That's a 16.
19, right. Technically, for you.
19, yeah.
Okay, Zoltana, you wake up with a small scream and your head really hurts as you take 5 psychic damage.
Okay.
But you seem to be okay. Balance, you wake up and you can't move inside your own body. Your head screams. It hurts. There's something wrong going on inside there and you take 10 psychic damage.
Oh, good.
And you are paralyzed for... Well, that was lucky for you. 1d8, which was a 3. You are paralyzed for 3 hours.
Oh, fantastic.
All right.
That's... So I'm just stuck.
Yep. You're just literally, you look like you're meditating, but you hurt and you can't move and you can't see because your eyes are closed. Like, it's just, it's not good, man. This is not good at all. I'm going to pan outside and we're going to go deal with Ral. It's the last part of the watch. You've probably got like an hour left on the watch. Homer did a really good job at keeping the horses going, but now they need to rest and he needs to rest. He's come to wake you up to take over. Light's okay. It's not terrible. It's kind of like that early morning dawn where the light is like really bright. There's a lot of fog around, so it doesn't really make that much more difference than you would before. It's still kind of eerily quiet out. Make a perception check for me, please.
13.
You become aware that there is something moving in the swamp. There is something moving in this like marshy area. Homer mentions that he thought something was approaching them, but he couldn't see it very well, so he thought it was best to stop. Now you've been like on watch for a little bit. There is definitely something, someone approaching. And they just get closer and closer. And as the sun begins to come up and burn away a little bit of this fog, you see that it is a... Yeah, you could probably tell from this distance. She's not making any pains to hide it. You can see this tall half-elf woman. She looks kind of old. Half-elves are wanting to age a bit quicker than elves. She just seems to be happily making her way along this misty pathway. And as she realizes that you have spotted her, she heartily waves to you.
This is dumb. Can I insight?
What are you inciting?
I'm inciting to see if, because we're kind of off on our own, right?
Yeah. You basically just like stopped on the path just a little bit off to the side when you found a dry area. Like, you're not concealed by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but like there's no people around, right? Like, it's odd to see.
Well, the hags are around.
Well, yeah, but that's great, right?
That's far behind you. People are not common in this area. You haven't really come across people.
So my insight would be to see if she's here, if like her being here seems to accomplish something for her near us, or if she's really just passing by.
Okay. She's carrying a small pack with her. She appears to have been walking for a while. Go for it. Make an insight check.
21.
She seems to be making her way directly towards you. She's heading down this path for a reason. And the reason appears to be when she sees you, your caravan, your group of people, you maybe. She makes her way directly towards you. She shows that she has no weapons apart from the walking stick, which she's leaning on, basically a big wooden pole. It's not like a proper walking stick. It's just a guide stick. She seems to be happily and quite cheerily making her way towards you.
Stop, please. Who are you?
You see her tip her head. And you feel like a pushing at your mind, but it's only very fleeting. She says,
"My name is... Well, my name is of no real consequence. I am looking for an old friend I thought I sensed. I don't know if you've seen him. He's yay high."
And she puts like her hand down like towards like between like halfway up her thigh. And she's like,
"Well, last time I saw him, he was that anyway. I don't really know what he's now."
"Did your friend have a name?"
"Yes. He has a name." "We all have names. We all have collections of names. I mean, there's your true name. Your name you have when you're..."
She's kind of like, she's very slowly hobbling towards you. She's not threatening. She just wants to get closer to talk.
"We always have collections of names. Names that we are given at birth by our parents or whatever is around. And names that we've earned. names that people give us. We have... He has many names. And he wears many names, too. I wore my name. Wore that name until he took... Left my name behind.
Did you call him something? Did you know him by a name?
Yes. I call him Marn. He was a good friend.
Rall is going to knock on the side of the thing and stop the car as he gets
close. The car is stopped. You guys are stationary.
Yeah. 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 I'll knock on the side.
It wakes up. Benno, Elise, and Jens. It wakes up pretty much everyone except Balance, who is basically in the dream with Zoltana.
With Casey.
With a Casey. And
well, the dream's not even over yet, huh?
No, this is properly parallel crap. They'll hear Zoltana in a minute. Don't worry. okay. Yeah, you basically see Benno pop his head out from the side and look over at you, Raoul, and he clocks the old lady instantly.
She's looking for her friend. Did you say his name was?
Name? Interesting things about names.
Okay.
If you know a name, it gives you... power over people. At least I can. Things that I do. What is your name? I haven't seen your likes before.
I am Rall. What is your name?
People.
I think I asked that and I think that I got the dodgy answer.
I'm sorry, I find it very difficult to keep things straight. It's been a while since I've had... it's been a while since I've had... clarity? Ideas? You are... What are you?
Potentially an enemy. What is your name?
They call me Lizzie.
I think at this point, Rall is going to be able to put it together.
Okay, good.
And Rall will get up off the cart and walk in and see Balance paralyzed.
As you basically, as she says the word Lizzie and you get off the cart, you hear a small scream from Zoltana.
No.
That's a super small screen. Like Karen.
Well, I'm trying to be mindful and also because it was funnier to be like.
Well, kind of pokes his head in. Concerned.
You pop your head in. Zoltana is up on her feet or still sitting upright, I guess. Balance looks like he's just paralyzed sitting there.
I shake him.
You are aware he's shaking you. You just can't. Verbally communicate.
I certainly make a con check.
Thank you, Arch.
Oh my god.
Yes, you can make a con check.
It's a 9.
Oh boy. There is a significant amount of acid dripping from your nose. It's clear, it's thick, it burns like a mofo. And you're going to take some damage, so take your damage, because I think we've got it written somewhere on your sheet.
Is it the breath weapon or the spit?
Yes.
2d6 versus 3d6.
6 is the 2d6.
Question.
Yes.
It says I can't speak.
Yes, you can use your telepathic abilities.
All right.
You do not require verbal semantics or components because, Snowflake character, so sure.
Thank you.
So it is the the spit, the lessened damage, and not yes. the full breath weapon? Okay.
Yes. Because
I'm pretty sure it's been the full breath weapon before, or I've used that. I don't know.
I think we've left, like, how much damage happens to him and when he gets knocked out kind of fluid, because yeah. sometimes it's a really bad thing you're experiencing, and sometimes you just flew 2 feet off the ground. So
yeah.
we leave that kind of fluid. You basically, like, feel your nose burn like you should be bleeding, and you put your hands to your face under your maw, and you just see that it's nothing but acid that's poured down your face.
I'm
and it sizzles.
Get out of the cart so I don't burn anything.
Oh, V, quick question. Did I technically get my long rest before this stuff?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you get everything back. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so I just lost the 10 psychic damage after the long rest.
Yes, yeah. Okay, you can feel Raoul shaking you. You heard the tapping. You heard something. I'm not going to say you heard what was going on, but you heard like movement and talking and stuff. Just, yeah. You're right, kind of semi-aware.
I'm
going
to telepathically say to Raoul, help, I'm paralyzed.
Do you say this to the guy that's passed out?
He just took damage.
He just took damage. He didn't pass out.
Oh.
Tell Zoltana and Homer.
Raoul wipes his acid away and looks back up and into the cart. And Balance is paralyzed, he says.
She's what now?
Paralyzed? And Raoul is looking very nervous.
Balance will say telepathically to Homer, I'm paralyzed. I can't communicate except like this.
Oh, right. Okay, that makes way more sense. And you basically feel him put his hands on the side of your face and just, like, tap various points on your face, like pressure points, and you just feel a slight tap on the back of your head from his staff, and you are no longer paralyzed.
Okay. Oh, Balance, like, leans forward and puts his hands on his knees. It's like, that was less than pleasant. Holy, okay.
Rollick's relieved as well.
Zoltana, next time we're going to do that, we need more backup.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
That was, shit.
I didn't even get a chance to do anything.
Balance.
No.
What?
Balance.
Hi.
I think someone might know someone here. And I'm going to gesture to the crazy woman.
Balance is going to climb out of the cart.
Yeah, get them.
As you climb down and climb out of the cart, you see this crazy old lady in front of you. Let me give a better description than it's a crazy old lady.
half elf.
She's a half elf. I need to make sure I go to my world information properly.
Makes sense how she would still be alive for after 50 years.
It's only 50 years. She's wearing a very thin blue velvet cloth dress and very long gloves. They're dark black. Dark charcoal. It's not quite black. She has very long, unkempt grey hair as if she hasn't brushed it, and it's got like little twigs and leaves and stuff on it. Yeah, and she's leaning heavily on a kind of like walking pole, and she has a little backpack on. She's wearing really thick shoes.
I'm sorry. I was distracted for a moment in there. Who are you?
She looks up at you. She tips her head. You see her eyes go wide. You see them white over as if her eyes just roll back in her head. She's staying perfectly still, perfectly calm. She rolls her eyes forward. You can see that they're a deep blue color. And she says,
I'm Lizzie. You are...
Tips her head again. Looks at the people around her. And she speaks into your mind. She says,
you're Prince Dathrodir, the elder, the one who is no longer prince. You were thrown into prison, and you have my friend.
And out loud she says,
you can call me Lizzie. I will call you Balance.
Balance has a growing smile on his face.
I would like you to make a wisdom saving throw as you feel Marnak trying to take control, unless you're going to let him.
I'll let him.
It's more like a polite request to drive the car rather than a forced takeover. You know that he could if he wanted to, but he's asking, hence why you got the heads up.
I will mentally tell him I'll allow it, but I'm staying in the passenger seat.
Yes, he gets that. He basically, like, you know, like the thing where you bypass all the warning signals because you want to go do the thing? Like, yeah, yeah, whatever you say, yeah, devil's barking, yeah, whatever. He basically does that, takes control and runs over to Lisbeth and picks her up and gives her a big, tight hug.
You want my name? I am sometimes Kessie Rilinicky, and I play Lisbeth. And sometimes I'm Karina on the White Vault. And other times I am Raka on Counterbalance. Names have power, so much power. If you leave me your name, I can do funny things with them. Or if you don't want me to do funny things with them, you can support us on Patreon. Then I will consider to leave your name off my list. Or if you don't have the money, you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you leave reviews, Podchaser maybe. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter at TLDpod. Or if you want to hear another thing in which I wear many names in, why don't you listen to this?
So she's doubly in danger. And fuck you, Neil.
I'm sorry. It was a double ones thing. And you said, never mind. Sorry.
Ruining my moment. God damn it. With your beautiful new haircut.
They're double.
Shut your mouth, you beautiful man.
We're here for trouble and make it double.
It's white needle blasting up again.
Jesus Christ.
Hello, Aria. Did you want to listen in on me and Rock enjoying ourselves?
Don't encourage
Should
him.
I describe to you what we're doing right now?
Picasso? Huh? What's going on?
Let's see. Look, these wind shells document anything you do in order to banish the spirits.
I don't banish spirits. I'm fixing the tango.
Of course, we can't open a new hole into the Aetherweb every year.
But spirits aren't always bad.
Those are exactly the reason Tangleweeds happened in the first place.
I'm sure Raka knows that I get through a water gate without disrupting the magic balance.
So what happens when there's a hole in the weave? Does magic pour out?
It is already broken. Let more of air into this world. I'll destroy one of them.
You've fed enough already.
I will kill you, you filthy
Whoa, 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 calm down, Raka.
Try it, Feather Duster.
God, ferocious rune master. Your friction will grind the weave a twain.
Yarta. In moments like these, I wish I could see the runes.
What's wrong, Raka? Is that Tangleweave maybe too difficult even for someone as great as you?
Counterbalance, a high fantasy audio drama. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts from.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.